And good morning to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Better Lawns and Gardens, of course. And I'm Tom McCubbin, Extension Agent Emeritus with the University of Florida. And guess what? Host Emeritus of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm happy to be here with you. Week number two for me. And don't worry, next week, Teresa will be back.
Yes, in the next few weeks. Yes, yes. We'll be running a few best ofs the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and she's in Scotland. So
I know.
I don't know how it is over there, but you said you got some pictures and it looked nice.
Yes, definitely. I got to see, it looked like they were doing like some type of like a drone fireworks situation.
Wow.
It's some new technique that I've seen a few since the 4th of July. So it looks beautiful. It looks beautiful over there. I'm very jealous.
Yeah. So. I've been to Scotland. It's a very nice country. And if you don't know, it's Lizzie at the controls and keeping us up and running here. Appreciate that very much.
Thanks.
Hot this week, totally hot. I saw 101. I was out doing consultation work, and I saw 101 degrees on my truck and going down the road. So when you're over top of macadam, I guess it's extra hot. But it was at least 96 out there when you're out there working. It's interesting. Now, I haven't had a whole lot of rain, but one night, I think it was Wednesday night. We got 0.6 inches of rain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, big downpour.
Nice.
Yeah, 0.6 inches. Where everybody else around me was getting 2 and 3 inches.
I think we only got maybe 2 inches if we were lucky.
Yeah, and last night, I got 0.27 inches. So for the whole week, I've had about an inch of rain. So
okay.
I've had to water several days. What happens is the container gardens really dry out. You have to water them.
Yeah, I did notice that because I actually got those little bulb things that you actually fill full of water and you flip it upside down and you stick it inside your plants.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to start doing that because I would forget about that. I'm like, oh, man, and they're dead. And I'm like,
well
biscuits.
You're working all the time. So it's easy, you know, that that the plants would just go by the wayside for a little bit. We've had 13 so far heat advisories. Mm. I guess that means going above 100 degrees or something like that.
Correct.
And we're looking at 106, 108 degrees. This is Central Florida now.
Mm-hmm.
And in other areas of the state, I'm sure it's different, but not much different. It's still pretty hot. Now, here's the good news. Tallahassee says they see signs of fall. And here's the sign. It's the American Beauty Berry, which is a native plant. And the berries are starting to color up.
Okay, mine are too.
Yours are too?
Mine are too. I need to take a picture of it and send it to you. They have the berries and they're turning like a purplish.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
that's what theirs are doing too.
Uh-huh.
So you think that's a sign of fall?
You're the expert. I got nothing.
Well, they turn color during the fall, so it's a possibility. It's a first sign of fall anyway. If you don't know it today, today's National Honeybee Day.
I love honeybees.
Have you ever raised them?
I have never, and I've actually thought about doing this. My only thing is I might forget about them. That's my only concern.
Well, they take care of themselves pretty much. I've raised bees. I haven't raised them in Florida, but I raised them in Maryland.
Okay.
And they're fun. Italian bees.
How do you know they're Italian? Do they have an accent?
Yeah, they speak. They have a little foreign accent. And they like lasagna. And then I had Caucasian bees. Caucasian are supposed to be more mild. I think they're from the islands off the coast of England somewhere.
Okay.
And those were nice. And then they got hybrid bees. The neatest thing about the bees, when I was a kid, this was when I was a teenager, in school, a vocational agriculture type class. And the bees would be delivered to your home in a 5-pound package.
Oh.
You got 5 pounds of bees. And on those days, you had the best delivery in town because the package had screening and the mailman could see the bees all humming on the outside. And there would be a couple of extra bees. Mm-hmm. And so normally we got our mail in the afternoon, late in the afternoon. When the bees were being delivered, we got it first thing in the morning. And the mailman would come by and said, I thought maybe you might like to have these a little early. So it was a fun thing to do. And I made made the honey in squares so I could take the square little box and sell it like that. And I'd sell it for 50 cents a square.
Shut up. That is awesome.
Black honey. Yeah. It was good. I mean, it was really.
And maybe my 2026 adventure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always looking for something. I mean, my turkeys are all grown now. So,
I was wondering, what do you do with the turkeys during the summer? And you air condition them, essentially.
It's hysterical because Arctic, and they aren't a sponsor or anything, but they make a handheld carrion air conditioned blower where you hook a hose up to it and it blows a mist. And believe it or not, you don't have to add ice to this, and it blows nice and cool, like very
really?
Cool. And the turkeys, they're all hanging out. I got like five of them all through the turkey runs.
I know they've been molting. I had to.
It is the craziest thing if you've never had a turkey molt.
People may not know what molting is, but it's the loss of feathers during the heat
and
of the summer.
It really is crazy because you would actually, our daughter, Brooke, who anybody's listened, she's, you know, our digital person, our producer that fills in and stuff throughout the building. And she called me during Good Morning Orlando, which you never call me and during a show. And she's like, Mom, I'm counting the turkeys. They're all here, but there are feathers everywhere. And it looks like something got one of them, but it looks okay. And I'm like, no, they're just molting. But yes, filled up a whole wheelbarrow full of feathers for just one turkey.
Wow, that's a lot. I want to tell everybody also the Sanford plant sale today if you're in that area. Tropical Plants, Seminole Bromeliad, Tropical Plant Society, and Sanford Garden Club. It's today, and that's 200 Fairmont Drive in Sanford. All different kind of plants. I like to stop by and see if I can add to my bromeliad collection that I have. But it's today, and I'm sure you'll be enjoying all the plants. They have orchids. They have other plants also. So when we come back, I'm going to be talking about starting the garden, what I'm doing, and we'll see where we go from there. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and I'm Tom McCubbin, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Thank you for joining us this morning on Better Lawns and Gardens. We're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. And we got a note here that Howie is listening to us this morning, which is nice, at Peterson Nursery in Lakeland.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Howie. And also I want to shout out to my friend Mike at Subway. He makes my subs.
He makes them so good.
He's been there with Subway for 47 years.
That is awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm telling you what. And then when you find that one person that can make you a really good sub anywhere, my goodness.
Well, he has a great team there. They all know what I want. That's really good. If I change up on them, it's a real problem. Anyway, you can text us 23680. That's what Howie did. That's how I knew he was there. So feel free to do that. We'll probably hold the calls to the second segment here. But if you want to call in, that's okay with me, too. It's up to Lizzie. She answers the phone.
I don't know why everybody puts me in charge.
Yeah. And what have I been doing? Well, I've been repotting a lot of overgrown plants in containers. And they've been in containers, probably some of them for a year or more. They're filling the containers. The roots are growing out of the bottom. And so some of them need dividing, and I can do that also. And I'm keeping the container gardens moist during this dry weather. Boy, I tell you, container gardens need water every day, sometimes twice a day after big plants.
So crazy to think about that. You would think, you know, they are contained and they drink a lot.
Yep, they use a lot of water. And weeding, doing lots of weeding out there. Mm-hmm. The weeds are out of control in my yard. So anybody that wants practice weeding, I'm happy to show you how.
I am to the point where we were looking at buying a weed eater that has the wheels on it because we have brush underneath our trees and stuff like that. And I don't want to cut back too much because of the hurricanes and stuff, and it blocks wind from coming in your yard. But let me tell you what, Tom, I'm having a very hard time with all this weed and the grass growing so fast.
Well, it's so hot and there's been moisture, and probably somewhere along the line we've fertilized either with turkey manure or something else.
Facts.
Somewhere around there. Removing growth. The Yaupon holly is a native holly, and it's a wonderful native holly. The only problem is it sends up shoots everywhere. Luckily, the selections like Schillings, which is a dwarf Yaupon holly, doesn't do that, but the native tree does. And I'm always cutting back the small shoots that come up Otherwise, you're going to fill an area. Here's something that you might want to think about doing also. I'm applying iron to my lawn. You know, in most areas, there's a restriction as to whether you can fertilize or not. In most areas, you can't, at least throughout the highly populated areas of Florida. So I'm going to put out the iron for my lawn. You can do that normally. And Sunnyland makes a granular iron. You can get a liquid iron also, various forms. But then you got to figure out how to put it out. But with a granular product, I can put it out with my spreader, which works out pretty neat. So those are just a few of the things that I am doing. I've got a longer list, but I want to talk about the garden because it's time to start your garden. And here's the things to think about. Where to plant? First of all, you need sun. You need sun and a water source. If you don't have the water source, you got yourself a problem of hauling water in some form. And at this time of the year, if you're getting the garden started, that may be daily just to keep the young plants growing. And if you're dealing with sandy soil is fine. We've been growing plants in sandy soil in Florida forever. But if you want to improve the sandy soil so it holds more moisture, releases some nutrients, try to find an inexpensive form of organic matter like compost. Maybe you make it yourself. Maybe some of the municipalities have it available. I don't think compost from counties and municipalities is available as it used to be. It used to be, for instance, in Orange County, there was at least three locations, but we find that two of the locations were abandoned, given up, and there may still be one major area to get compost. Now, the other thing is composted manure, and that's where black cow comes in. So get yourself some black cow and use that as manure. Now, here's my problem with black cow. Black cow doesn't smell like the manure I remember from the farm. And most of you are saying, oh, that's good.
Right.
But if you're an old farm boy like me, you like to be able to open the bag and remember to smell when you're out there on the manure spreader.
Yes.
And
yes.
But most people would like the black cow because it's composted, doesn't have that farm smell to it, and it provides great nutrients, and just mix that in with your soil also. So if you have sandy soil, organic matter, any source, maybe composted you made yourself, get your black cow, put that in, and you can get the garden started. Now, check the soil acidity also. Many of our soils in Florida have a pH of around neutral. 7 is neutral. 6.5 to 7.5, somewhere around there. Some are acid. If you're in some of those areas, especially where you have palmettos and plants like that, if your property's been hewn out of those areas, go ahead and get yourself a soil acidity test. You can do it yourself if you want to. And then adjust the soil pH. You might need lime, for instance. If the pH is way up, it's a possibility you might want to add some sulfur, although with the compost and the manures and things of that nature, the pH will probably adjust itself a little bit. But if it's way below, say 5.5 or below, then you're probably going to need lime, and a soil acidity test will help you out there. Till in all the additions, organic matter, compost, pH adjustments, and you're ready to start your garden. Now, here's a question. Do you add fertilizer or not? I do not add fertilizer beforehand. I know some of my friends do. They have the garden. They put down a light application of 666, 10-10-10, something of that nature. Sometimes it's kind of hard to find 666. It'll be a 606, low phosphorus. A soil test will tell you whether you need phosphorus or not. But if you want to add fertilizer, fine. I normally add my fertilizer after the plants are growing. After they've been up and growing for a couple of weeks, because I've already put down the manure, for instance, which has the nutrients there. Then you add your seeds or your transplants. Right now, I have tomato plants ready to go into the garden. At this time of the year, you can grow transplants so quickly. And mine are about ready for the garden. I'm going to tell you that I did have some seedling failures. A couple of them were bug-caused. I went out there and found two of my plants mowed down by caterpillars.
No.
Yeah, this caterpillar about the size of a pencil,
oh,
for instance. And you have to find them because you go out during the daytime and you see the seedling has been eaten down or cut off. Mm-hmm. Then you got to find the devil. Well, where is it? Well, if you're raising seedlings, then you pick the tray up, you pick each pot up, and sooner or later you're going to find it. But when I was out there the other day, it was hugging the stem. It was connected to the stem of the tomato plant.
Oh, wow.
I said, you devil. So I picked it off and did the noble thing, put it underfoot. And so we're okay right now, but they cut into a few of my plants. And my pepper seedlings ate the top out of one tray of them. Ticks me off. So right now is time to start the warm season garden. And you have from mid-August to mid-September. And we'll give you some of these. Well, I've got some of them here. Here's what I'm planting. Tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, beans, and squash. If you like eggplant, put eggplant in also. You can also do watermelons, cantaloupe, crops of that nature. But I will tell you, watermelons and cantaloupes aren't easy. Keep the pesticide, keep the fungicide handy. The rest on cucumbers, you get a cucumber variety that's resistant to some of the problems. And tomatoes and peppers are normally pretty easy. Beans are pretty easy. Squash, you can get fungal problems on them also. Now, here's the trick. Keep it moist. And at this time of the year, you're going to have to be out there at least once or twice a day. I had a friend of mine who was an organic gardener. And he told me, if you go out into the garden and you plan to spend 5 minutes, you'll probably spend an hour just out there touching, looking, smelling, staking, yes. pulling some weeds,
yes.
doing all that type of thing. So keep it moist. Apply a light mulch if you can. I like to get maybe a bale of straw. Straw has been hard to get. I haven't checked here lately, but I checked in late spring, and where I get my straw, they didn't have any. And so the guy said, well, they didn't grow it. Well, you don't grow straw. Straw comes as a byproduct from wheat and barley and things like that. But
right.
But anyway, I'm hoping to find something like that to use as a mulch. Leaves would be fine. Compost would be fine. But a light mulch helps to keep down on your watering. And then also, after a couple of weeks of growth, you fertilize. And away the plants grow. Kind of neat.
Now, I got a question. How can you counteract any type of bugs? So, like, perfect example, like my corn, which I've given up, already gave up planting corn this year because of the earworms, because the few sprouts that we had come up accidentally that didn't get, you know, disked away, it automatically earworms on them, and I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to try this year. So yep. how can we
do
this?
Well, my last thing here is bug patrol.
Thank
you. On my list
there. All right,
good.
I was
and I go out there and check. But corn, you should be able to grow corn. And we'll grow it for the fall. I'll be planting several rows of corn. Mm-hmm. And if you have those worms come in, the earworms, the cutworms, whatever you have, there's a natural product called spinosad or spinosad. And that there will do a good job. Thuricide is another one. They're all natural products.
Yes.
Easy control. Bonide has one, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
I'm telling you what, I'm loving me some Captain Jack's because I had, what's the white bugs that are like on hibiscus?
Mealybugs.
There you go, yes. I covered, infested, and I went through and I did their...
Did it work?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I only have maybe one after, yeah. one or two on, I have a lot of hibiscus.
Yeah.
That's all I found.
Yeah.
So I go through spraying them again. So, but yes.
They get all my microtins, too. And so I've used insecticidal soap pretty good, but you have to hit them with that, mm-hmm. or with the Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
Yep.
All you have to do is spray.
I'm
and
loving
pretty
that.
Good.
Good
yeah.
stuff.
And bean leaf roller, things of that nature, it'll help control all those type of problems.
Well, thank you.
And sometimes I will go to insecticidal soap or neem oil. That's the other one. The
yes.
peppers have a real problem with a little mite getting up in the top of them. And so I will use either insecticidal soap or the neem oil or year-round spray oil. Summit Responsible Solutions year-round
yes.
spray oil, which
yes.
is a good one.
Okay.
And that'll help get control. And that should take care of your scale insects and mealybugs also. So if you get the Summit year-round spray oil and spray into the top of them, just try to hit the insect. That's the important part,
yes. okay.
and you'll get it under control. So anyway, just a few of the things, getting your garden going. Now is the time, I will tell you, very important. Coming up next, I've got several things here. One of them is a type of weeds. I have three types of weeds to tell you about. And also, we'd be happy to take your calls. Give us a call here, 1-888-455-2967. I'm Tom McCubbin, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Thank you for joining Lizzie and me on this Better Lawns and Gardens program today. I'm Tom McCubbin, your host. I want to remind you today is National Honeybee Day, so go out and kiss a bee.
Well, no, don't.
Maybe you shouldn't do that, actually.
Go out and purchase some locally grown, because not honey, only yeah, you can, unofficially, I'm not a doctor, it's good for your allergies, but it helps support the local bees.
Yeah, something has me congested today. When I walked into the studio here and all of a sudden...
That's all it takes.
I enjoyed raising my bees, that's for sure. And I had a vocational agriculture teacher. I would put my veil on, I would put my covers on, and he would put a veil on, just keep him out of his hair, mm-hmm. what hair he had. But that's it. He let the bees sting him, and he said it helped with his arthritis.
Oh.
And he would actually, sometimes he told me, force the bee to sting him.
I've actually heard of that. We're not suggesting you do this.
No.
I've actually heard of that. So
yeah, this was my vocational agriculture. I thought it was nuts. Mm. But anyway. annual fall plant sale. This is sponsored by the Seminole Bromeliad Tropical Plant Society and Sanford Garden Club. This is if you're in the Sanford area. It's today and tomorrow from 9 to 4 each day. Indoors, that's the good news. And that's on 200 Fairmount Drive in Sanford. They'll have a sign out, I guarantee you. Have over 2,500 plants, including bromeliads, orchids, and many other tropicals. So if you're interested, go out there and buy your plants. That's a good way to get your plants, you know, at where you have local people producing them, mm-hmm. and you can get the best selection.
Yes.
Hey, we got a text message here. I think it's for you more than me. It says, one person, this is Linda, it said, good morning, and she wishes she was with Teresa, and I do too in Scotland. It's a nice country, and we had great meals. And she has a weed eater with two wheels.
Okay.
That's what you're looking for.
Yes.
And she said you need to keep it level or you'll be scalping everything. You know, who cares about the close cuts when you're cutting weeds? I don't know.
No, I get it. I appreciate that. Thank you, Linda.
There you go. And here's another one here. It says, how often should a compost pile be turned over? After adding scraps, I cover them, but I don't turn over the pile. You don't have to turn the pile at all if you don't want to, but it would be a good idea. It speeds up the process, and you can throw a little fertilizer in, keep it moist. But essentially, a compost pile can be built, and it can just rot down on its own. That's a possibility. I'm going to get to the three different weeds sometime today, but let's take care of Rob and Christmas. What do you say? Rob, good morning to you.
Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, I think. Lizzie, you doing okay?
I'm doing a lot better because he invited me to church, and I said,
Did he really?
Christmas is a little far away, so
yeah.
But thank you, though.
There you go, Rob. How can we help you today?
I've got a couple of three questions. One of them, I've got a teacup orchid. We've had it for a couple of years. It's happy. It's shooting off some stems that I assume are going to be flowers. When we bought it, it was tied up. Should we tie the stumps up to a stick?
Yeah. You know, if it was tied up when you got it, that's what I would do. Just go ahead and,
right.
and keep them tied up.
Okay, I've got another question. I've got some banana trees that are not producing bananas. One of them I got from a friend who has a huge crop. He has so many bananas, he can't give enough away. Anyway. What am I doing wrong with that?
And yours is not producing well. You know, how long have you had the banana plant?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. It's still a young plant. It may take at least that long, 15 months to 24 months. Just make sure you're fertilizing it. Fertilize it during the growing season once a month. Get a general fertilizer or get a slow-release fertilizer, and you won't have to do it as often. So what you want to do is just keep it moist. Hopefully it's in the sun, and keep it fertilized, and you will get bananas. Now, here's the problem. Let's see, you're in Christmas. You get a little chilly out there, Rob. And
not really.
Well, that's good, because bananas don't like the chill. They don't like temperatures below 40 degrees. And what happens when it goes below 40 degrees, you get yellow leaves, and the banana plant kind of gets reduced in size. So
All right. So
hopefully you'll have a freeze-free year, and my guess is your plant, it may flower any time now. That's the daggone thing that bananas do. They flower late in the season, and then you go into the fall and you get the cold weather, get a frost, and you don't get a crop. You want the banana to flower sometime in the springtime so you get fruit by fall, but you can't control that. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed yours flowers at the right time. Next spring would be a real good time for it to flower.
Okay, thank you. I got one more because you reminded me.
Okay, quickie.
Indoor composter. I love it. It produces compost. I put some of the compost on a plant outside, and mold started growing. Should I be concerned?
No, mold's fine. That's okay. It's part of the composting process. And you have all different kind of microorganisms in there. You have all different kind of fungus and things of that nature. So some mold won't be a problem, okay?
All right. Thank you, y'all. Have a blessed day.
Okay. You have a blessed day, too. Thank you for the call. If you want to give us a call, you certainly can. Feel free to 1-888-45-LAWNS or 1-888-455-2967. Three different types of weeds, very quickly here. One's the broadleaf. You have pretty good controls, broadleaf weed controls. If you're looking for something like atrazine, that's in the Scotts product, but you have other good broadleaf weed controls, using them during the summer is kind of tough. So you have to do it during the cooling portion of the day, and I do spot weed control. And for bahia grass, it's specific herbicides used for broadleaf weeds, so you'll probably want to make sure it says bahia on the label. Grass, there is no good weed control out there at this point. Preventing seeds from germinating, yes. But once it's up and growing like crabgrass right now, the only thing out there that you can do is probably a home remedy. And again, this is a home remedy, and it would be something like baking soda. I don't know whether the AgriLawn crabgrass control is still out there, but one of the ingredients was baking soda. The other one was a cinnamon bark.
Okay, I've heard the cinnamon, so yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the active ingredient. When they made the product, baking soda is a carrier that is in the product. But really, I interviewed the guy who put that together. Hmm. The baking soda, it was down in St. Cloud, Florida, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And the ingredient that really doing the control is the baking soda.
Okay.
A light scattering of baking soda, and you can scatter it across the surface of the crabgrass late in the day. Don't do it heavy, like dust on your furniture. And sedge, last of the three, sedge killers are out there at the garden centers, and you can get those, and they will be fine get sedge control, but they are slow, I will tell you. We're in the final half hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. You can call us 1-888-45-LAWNS, Texas 23680. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Tom McCubbin, Extension Agent Emeritus with the University of Florida and Host Emeritus for Better Lawns and Gardens. We have a real treat coming up for you during hour number two. Krista DeVore, and she's one of the three finalists for the National Retailer, Young Retailer Awards. This is given out by Green Profit, the Garden Center Group, and it's a Young Retailer Award. And she's delightful. I can't wait to interview her during hour number two.
I'm excited. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what she has
to
say.
She's right here in Florida.
Yes.
She's one of the people from Florida right up here over in Oviedo.
That's the best part about it.
At Lucas Nursery and Butterfly Encounter, and she's the assistant purchasing manager.
Also, Peterson's Nursery gave us a call, Howie, and he did say that they had
the AgriLawn?
Yes.
AgriLawn crabgrass killer.
Yep.
Good. Okay, so that's Peterson's Nursery. And if you're not near Peterson's Nursery, you might check with your local independent garden center. Those would be the places where you'd probably find it there. Okay, I've got to answer this one here. This is from Mike in Venice, because last week, if you remember, we talked about the resistant chinch bugs, the chinch bugs that are resistant to pesticides. There's pockets of them. Not all areas have that problem. Some companies have more problem with chinch bugs because they're not switching products. You may have that same product in your lawn. But some St. Augustine now is having trouble with all pesticides, or at least all pesticides that your pest control company might have. So, Mike, this is from Dr. Adam Dale. And Dr. Adam Dale said we need to switch groups and give it a try. He's not guaranteeing any of these things work. But I did check. This is azeractin, which is the type of pesticide. It's a group. And in that group is neem. And when Gary and I were talking last week, we weren't sure neem could be used on lawns, but I checked it this week, mm-hmm. and some of the neem products are available for use on lawns.
Oh, okay.
So you might check it out. That's one possibility. And the other group that he had was the diamides. And in that group there, there's a product called acelaprin. Acelaprin suppresses chinch bug populations, and that can be fine. You know, commercially, they can get it as acelaprin. You're not going to go out and spend hundreds of dollars on a product like that. But Scotts does have it in their GrubX. GrubX. Acelaprin is the active ingredient. And the nice thing about the neem and the acelaprin is they're low-toxicity products. Low-toxicity as far as we're concerned. Okay, let's see. Here's another one. I have a Bahia yard. Is there a way when the lawn grows, you see the seed heads, can you figure out a way to harvest them? You know, if you want a hay field for a while, yeah, you can do that. And probably have seed heads going to take about, a month or so to mature, and then you could just mow them down and the seeds would fall on the ground and away to go. But you need to make sure that the seeds are kind of darkish in color, plump, and that means that they're probably ready to germinate. The other thing is Bahia seeds are very slow to grow, very slow to grow. So I suggest you buy in some Bahia seed is what you do, rather than trying to raise your own. Although you can give it a try, it might work out for you. Okay, here, let me do Tom's top five perennials to plant for summer through fall for color, okay? Number one on my list, pentas. Love the pentas. And mine are doing fine out there right now. I have some in containers. My neighbor's putting me to shame. He has beautiful pentas. He planted them in the springtime, and they're just growing through the summer. Pentas will last into the fall until we get a frost or a freeze. If we don't, they may go all the way through the winter. That's possible. Fire spike. That's the next one. Nice, tall, perennial red ones during the summertime, and there is a purplish variety that blooms during the wintertime. And so fire spike. Okay, number three here, peacock ginger. If you don't know peacock ginger, it looks like hostas. My neighbor does have some hostas. She has done very well with them. And they're the Florida hostas. And they're not going to be as showy or full as the ones up north, but they're hostas. But a good substitute is peacock ginger. It mimics the hostas, even though the hosta is not a ginger. But the peacock ginger dies back in the wintertime. During the summertime, some of them have colorful foliage and also little pinkish or bluish flowers. The next one I think is really good. Wasn't my favorite for years, but we have better varieties now. And it's Blue Days. Blue Days. And very durable. A couple of communities that I know have used Blue Days for their ground cover. As long as it's in the sun, the filtered sun, sun's best. Blue Days does well. And number five on my top list is the bush daisy. I really love bush daisies. They're durable, few pests. I think mealybugs will get onto them, but you can use the insecticidal soap or maybe the Summit Responsible Solutions oil spray. And as long as you hit the mealybugs, you'll be just fine. And I've thrown in an extra.
Uh-oh. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
Whether you need it or not, Joseph's coat. Are you familiar with Joseph's coat?
Probably if I saw it by the name, no.
It is Alternanthera is a scientific name, and it has colorful foliage, and it's not used that much. I don't know why. It's durable, and we can use it, and it's pretty cold tolerant, and we'll have some with purple foliage, some of it with yellow-green foliage color.
Yeah, I have a bunch of this, and I absolutely love it. I'm a purple and blue person.
Yeah.
I hate pink. But I love mine, so yes.
It's a neat one to have out there. So those are my top five. Pentas, fire spike, peacock ginger, blue days, bush daisy, and an extra we'll throw in Joseph's coat, which is kind of neat. So some of the things. Back to my types of weeds here. We have just a little bit of time left in the hour. Let's see. I better do this first. Tom, I cut down a starburst tree. Starburst is a clerodendron type plant, a number of great ones, but it's suckering all over. How can I kill the suckers? Get one of the brush killers. Brush Be Gone, that's an ortho product. Brush Killer Plus, that's a bio-advanced product. and just use it as instructed. Now, here's the problem. If you want to keep more starburst, you know, one plant, then if you cut down the suckers, then it may go back. The product may go all the way back to the original plant. So you'd have to sever them so if you're going to treat them like that, because I don't want you to lose them, okay? Okay, here's my types of weeds and how to control them. The last one we were on here briefly is sedge. Sedge is the most upright, the greenest, and it has a very shiny leaf to it. There's many types. I got an email this week about one, which is the green Kalinga is what she had. And it looks like grass a little bit. She said it's taken over her St. Augustine. So I went through and wrote back to her, that told her that there's sedge controls out there. The one's called Sedge Hammer. You can get that at your independent garden center quite often. Then Ortho has a nut grass killer. Nutgrass is a sedge. Now, these products are slow. They're going to take time. I know that Bonide has one also, and I think maybe Fernalome. So when you go into your independent garden center, ask them for what they have for sedge control in lawns, and just follow the label very carefully. But it's a slow product. I shared some with my neighbor, and after a week, my neighbor came out and said, you know, that stuff's not working. It's still green. And then he came out about a month later, and he said, it worked. Now I got all these bare spots. So be careful what you ask for, okay?
Oh, that is crazy. And believe it or not, if the wind just slightly blows, it goes everywhere. Oh, yeah. And you don't realize it because it doesn't really show. So
I know. So anyway, he had bare spots, and then he had another problem. He had to figure out I was going to plug them. Grass, again, I don't have a good answer, except the AgriLawn product, which Peterson Nursery has in Lakeland. And baking soda. Those are the two ways to get it under control. We used to have some products for home lawns, but we don't have many more. So you're out there on your own. You may just have to replace some of the areas if you have grass problems. Broadleaf weeds, there's lots of controls out there. My favorite at this time is the Roundup for Southern Lawns. It's a multi-herbicide product. You know, Roundup has become a brand name. So you have to be careful what you're getting. You have to go for the Roundup for Southern Lawns, and that's out there, and use it as instructed. Other companies, I'm sure, have their own brand of these things. I don't see one in the Ortho line, but I'm sure Bonide has one, probably Fertilome also. And Scotts has their Weed and Feed. Now, we can't use Weed and Feed now because we're under fertilizer ban in many areas, but their product contains atrazine. And as I mentioned when we were talking about it, we have a product for Bahia. You have to be careful and make sure that you're getting a product for Bahia. There's a Bahia Weed and Feed. Sunnyland has one of those. Other companies probably do too. But you have to follow the instructions carefully. You can't use what you use on St. Augustine normally on Bahia. So make sure you read the label. Remember, the label's the law, and you really have to go through and make sure you're doing the right thing there. A couple of things to plant right now. As I mentioned, in the garden, corn. Lizzie, you want to plant your corn?
No,
give it
thank
another
you.
Try. Give it another try. Cucumbers, eggplant, okra, peppers, southern peas, squash, tomatoes, and watermelon. Coming up next, we have our guest, Krista DeVoer, and we'll be having her. We want to thank our sponsors, Black Cow, Summit Responsible Solutions, Quality Green Specialist with Dana Venrick, and DeLand, Peterson's Nursery with Hallie and Karen in Lakeland. So stay tuned for us for hour number two from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. We're happy to have you with us. I'm Tom McCubbin. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.